Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here for the Atlanta Technology Leaders Show, and this is a very special show because this is the Women in Technology special episode. And for that, we always have Sandy Welfare. She is the Executive Director of WIT. Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you very much, Lee. Very nice to be here.
So what's new in your world? What are the goings-on at WIT? You guys are always doing something fun.
Well, today is really all about the Atlanta Science Festival and the reasons why we're trying to get more of our girls excited and interested in STEM activities. And so today I have brought along a few guests to talk about why we're doing what we're doing in Atlanta, and more importantly, why the Atlanta Festival, Science Festival is so important.
All right, so it's time. It's all about the Atlanta Science Festival. Who do you got with you?
So today I have Jordan with me and Michelle, and they're going to be coming at it from two very interesting perspectives. But of course, Jordan is our main contact and has been liaising with us to get all of our details together for the Atlanta Science Festival. So,
welcome, Jordan.
Thank you so much.
How's the liaising going along?
Liaising, Lee, is going very well. We're thrilled to partner with Women in Technology again this year. This is our second Atlanta Science Festival, and we've really stepped it up in our work here with Women in Technology and drilled down to something really interesting. We're working with them this year on several citizen science projects to promote opportunities for people like you and me to do science and to contribute to science.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the festival and your vision of it? And this is the second year, right?
Sure. This is the second year of the Atlanta Science Festival. Last year, we had 30,000 people attending over 100 different events across 8 days. It was a huge success. It was so much fun.
Just the way you imagined it,
yeah,
right? When
exactly.
You were drawing it up in your house.
We had so much anxiety. We had no idea how it was going to go. But it was really... It was really an overwhelming success, and we're thrilled to be back.
Let's talk a little bit about the history. Like, how did the idea start, and what made you think that 30,000 people would possibly go to a science event?
So there were three of us at Emory University, Mesa, Salida, Sarah Peterson, and myself, who had this idea, and we pitched it up through faculty and deans. And
I want to get to the beginning of the idea. You're three around. Where are you?
We're at Starbucks. We're
at Starbucks,
of course. You know, so we're having some coffee, and Mesa has this idea. She's been to another science festival
in
another
city.
Okay, so
there was one somewhere.
Yeah, I think she went to the Bay Area in San Francisco.
Okay.
And she's like, we got to do this here. And Sarah and I look at each other and, sure, yeah, why not?
How hard can it be?
Right. 50,000 people they had at their festival? Oh, okay, we can do that.
Yeah,
no problem.
There has to be a few thousand here in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, the idea is really to get the whole community together. It's not just a program for kids. It's not just a program that's happening in the schools. It's happening in your face. Science in your face, in parks, in bars, in restaurants, at museums.
Because science happens everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now you have the idea and you're like, okay, we're going to go for it. So what was your first move?
Our first move was to go to a man named David Lin, who's the chair of chemistry at Emory University.
You got to get the chemists involved early,
chemists
right?
Involved.
That's a rule.
You got to get a faculty member involved. You got to get a chair involved because no one above that level listens unless there's faculty involved, right?
All right. So you told this person, and were they on board?
Oh yeah, yeah. He is very much into outreach and education and interdisciplinary. Exchanges between scientists, the public, and professionals in other disciplines. So he thought this was a great idea. He's been a longtime fan, working with theater groups and artists and performers to actually bring science to the public in new and exciting ways. So he brought us to the dean and the president, and everyone got really excited and on board. And President Wagner at Emory University was the first to pick up the phone. This was the day before winter break in 2011, December 14 or 15, before everybody was leaving for vacation.
Right.
He picks up the phone and calls the president of the Metro Atlanta Chamber and gets them on board. And then we go to Georgia Tech. We get Evans Harrell, who is in the dean's office in the College of Sciences. We get the dean of the College of Sciences.
So they're falling like dominoes, right?
Yeah, everyone's on board. Everyone's super excited. We're selling them on this idea that this is going to be a great success. It's going to be a legacy for the city of Atlanta, and everyone is super excited because this is not really anything super new. The programming is happening in Atlanta.
Right.
You know, there are museums, there are universities that are doing this kind of work. It's just nobody's put it all together in one big umbrella package to say that Metro Atlanta is a place where science is happening.
And in your mind, the first iteration of this, what did it look like? What did the event look like in your mind?
Well, we were trying to start small. That didn't really happen. It kind of exploded. We really wanted to have, you know, 4-5 events over the course of a week, including this big expo at Centennial Olympic Park. That was the key. That was the centerpiece.
That's the circus is coming to town, right?
Yeah.
This is the big event.
Show up with your family, your grandma, your neighbor, and get your hands dirty. Do some science.
So you had that as the culmination of
yep.
the week. You didn't know what the week entailed at that point, right?
We didn't know because the idea was to really open it up to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want this to be an Emory event.
You didn't want it to be a top-down. This is how you wanted to get all of the constituents involved mm-hmm. and bring into the table whatever they thought was interesting, right?
That's right. So we opened up this community proposal, call for proposals, and people just came out of the woodwork. You know, school districts and libraries and theater groups were making proposals for events that were really super exciting, and they wanted to be a part of it. We had over 80 partners last year. This year, we're at 120-something. It's amazing.
Are you turning people away? You have more than...
Yeah, we're turning people away. We can't fit in people into the program. You know, there's only 32 pages in this pink booklet that lists all of our programs. We can't get everyone in as it is. So, you know, if you didn't come talk to us before October, chances are
wow.
you're probably not part of the program. But we are really open to everyone. We want to have programs in all geographic areas. We want to provide access to science educational programming for everyone in the Metro Atlanta area.
So you had all the smart people want to get involved, and it seems like there's no shortage of that. What about like the businesses? Did they come and get involved and support it financially as well?
Yeah, the key there was our relationship with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. They and David Hartnett and Hala Modelmog over there really helped us make connections and introduce us to the business community. And that's where things took off. Delta Airlines got on board really early, and they've put in a 2-year commitment to support the festival. And from there, you know, Lockheed Martin, Georgia Power, a new partnership with How Stuff Works is really exciting.
That's right. And that's I don't know if it's common knowledge, but that started here. And do they still have a big presence here?
They have a huge presence here. They
right.
just moved into some new office space at Ponce City Market. It's beautiful. They have a question mark shaped table. which is, you know, the what I really want in my office because that's the Atlanta Science Festival's logo there.
Maybe get their old one.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's just an exclamation point. You know, they're not quite to the questioning phase. They're still excited. I don't know. So How Stuff Works is going to be doing a lot of fun things at the festival. They have an exhibit at our big expo event where you can actually dye your hair, and they'll be talking about the science behind that. One of their most famous popular podcasts, Stuff You Should Know,
mm-hmm.
will be filming live, recording live at SCAD Show during the festival. And so those tickets are going real fast, so buy them now. But I should mention that most of the Science Festival events are free
right?
and open to the public.
Right.
Yeah. There are a few that require advance registration and some that have a small ticket price, but we're trying to make all these exciting things accessible to everyone.
So now, who did you bring with you?
So I brought with me Michelle LaPlaca, professor at Georgia Tech, and Michelle is working with us on a particular program called the Science of Sports Safety. This is an event at the College Football Hall of Fame. It's going to feature some technology that Michelle developed along with other colleagues, and we're going to have some interactive stations. We're going to have a panel discussion. Brian Finneran, former Falcons receiver, mm-hmm. will be moderating the panel. We'll have TJ Buckley, former Tech football player, now plays for the Jets, and the backup QB from Georgia Tech. I've forgotten his name, Byerly. yeah, so he'll be there too. So we just signed him on. It's going to be a real exciting event. Lots of interactives there. The science cheerleaders will be there. And after Michelle talks a little bit about her detect technology, I want to come back and talk about more about the science cheerleaders and women in technology and how we're promoting citizen science.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah. Welcome, Michelle.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you, Jordan.
So now, did you know about this event last year?
I did know about it last year. I didn't expect it to be such a hit. And it was talked about afterwards among the colleges and things like that. So it's really great that it's expanded.
Okay. So now talk a little bit about your research.
So I'm a professor, as Jordan said, at Georgia Tech, and
see, he's got that Emory bias.
He's got yeah, go Jackets.
And hey, our football team's undefeated, so
never lost.
But I do have several Emory colleagues who have been instrumental in developing this technology, namely mentioned David Wright, who's emergency medicine, and Tamara Espinosa. And then as I talk about the technology, there's other people at GTRI, which is our applied engineering division at Georgia Tech, has really helped us. So Jordan approached me about displaying our iDetect device at an event. And what that is a immersive environment, similar to virtual reality, where somebody puts a heads-up display over their head and they take a series of tests to see if they have symptoms of concussion. So symptoms like cognitive deficits, memory loss, and balance deficits, and things that are common when someone experienced a concussion.
So it goes beyond the how many fingers am I holding up test that they use
yes,
sometimes?
Yes, that's very old school at this point, and everybody recognizes that. But it's very difficult to assess it. So, and then it evolved into this science of sports safety because, sports safety goes beyond just, protecting youth and athletes and really anyone from experience a concussion and educating them how to, recognize the signs. And it really goes beyond that. So we'll have, in addition to several concussion booths, and we'll have over 12 different booths at this event. Everything from hydration, because hydration is very important, especially you know, in the heat and summer practices. This is a concern of many parents and coaches.
And it's something that can it could sneak up on you when you're dehydrated, right?
And there's a whole science behind this. It's very interesting. So we'll have
the science of sweat.
The science of sweat and how that happens and how you can prevent it and how you can basically treat it after you've started down that path.
I was taking a spin class and the instructor was always saying, like, get ahead of your thirst.
Right. They say if you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated.
It's too late, right? Yeah. Like you're behind.
So that's very important. And also, if you experience a concussion while you're dehydrated, the outcome is worse.
Oh, so they're connected.
It's related.
Wow.
Yeah, it's related. So we'll also have a very cool station that simulates concussion. So you put on goggles, and then you can see what it's like to be concussed. Mm-hmm. So some people experience like blurry vision or just this dizziness.
Right.
And so you can see what it may look like. So you can start to learn about that.
We had a guest in here on a show that we do on senior services that they have something that simulates like Alzheimer's.
Right.
The people who have gone through it, they say it's fascinating. Like, it changes your whole perception of everything.
Yeah, it's very interesting because it's like anything. Unless you experience it, it's hard to describe. Yeah. And then we also have a real human brain that will be there. So
hopefully there will be about 400 real human brains. But this one will be in a tray.
We'll have one in a tray, right, with that you can touch, which is always very interesting because most people haven't seen a real human brain before.
And how much does an average human brain weigh?
It's about 1,500 grams. So what is that in pounds?
One of you smart people do that math.
Somebody get the app out. And don't ask us if you only use 10% of your brain. That is definitely a myth.
That's a myth.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, we maybe only at one given time we're using 10%, but over the course of the day, you're certainly using all of it.
Right, so I don't know where that ever came from, but
I don't know.
It's been debunked, I think, at this point. We'll also have a helmet fitting, so you can bring your bike helmet or your sports helmet and get that fitted. We'll have...
Right, that's another thing that people, they think they're protecting themselves, especially bikers, and they have it on, like you see it, it's like almost vertical, and it's kind of useless, right? Like right. if you don't have it on properly.
Right.
It's like the kid child seats, the car seats, they think that they're protecting their kid, but if you don't do it right...
Exactly. And we'll have athletic trainers there, mm-hmm. And sports clinicians, you know, doctors who deal mainly with sports medicine.
So how'd you get into this side of science?
Well, I've always been interested in brain injury. That's always that's been my field of study since graduate school. And it's just something that it really combines mechanics with the neuroscience. And mm-hmm. that's something that I've always been interested in. And so my research for the past 16 years has been on traumatic brain injury, everything from cellular types of investigations, and then more recently with concussion and with, you know, clinical studies.
So that all this NFL stuff must, you know, putting a spotlight on this must be getting pretty more important, more popular.
Yes, and the NFL has really, they've come over to the research side more and more, and they've actually recently funded our project to add more balance assessment mm-hmm. to our neurocognitive assessment. So that's one of the things that you'll be able to try at the event.
And now, do you think that this is something that they can make a helmet that could make no concussions happen, or much fewer?
There's a lot of people that are looking mm-hmm. for that concussion-proof helmet, and it really doesn't exist. I mean, this having a football helmet or any other sports that use a helmet, these are collision sports, right?
Right.
So you cannot totally prevent concussions. What we want to do is we want to educate people on how to wear the helmets, how to get them fit, how to tackle properly. So the NFL has gotten involved, and they've invested in a heads-up football
right.
program, and that will also be one of our exhibits. Right. So Buddy Curry from Atlanta and the Falcons will be there showing people, demonstrating this
right.
program and how to tackle properly so you can reduce concussions, but they're not going to go away.
Would having no helmet make fewer concussions?
That's an argument or a discussion mm-hmm. that comes up from time to time. There's arguments for it both ways. I think now it would be very difficult to go back to that because strength training and nutrition and things have gotten to the point where we have very strong, you know, even our youth athletes are much stronger than they were decades
right.
ago when, you know, no helmets or thin helmets were worn. So I don't think that's really the route to go.
Well, it seems that when they have the helmet, they think they're safer, so then they behave more recklessly.
That's the argument for possibly, you know, getting rid of them. But I think we've already passed that line.
Right.
So I think that would probably be catastrophic at this point.
So now these are some of the examples of what is going to be there. And then it's interesting to see that once you open up science, then you see that it involves lots of things other than scientists. Like you have the NFL and you have, a bunch of industries that may not be obvious that science is involved, but it is.
Yeah, this particular event and the technology that Michelle and her team have developed is really exciting because this is technology that was developed here in Atlanta by Atlanta scientists and clinicians, and this is going to go out into the real world and be impactful to thousands and millions of student and
right.
youth and professional athletes in the future. And so this is an exciting story for the Atlanta Science Festival to tell, to help people to become aware of and proud of the resources and assets and really exciting innovations that are coming out of our town.
And there's really a lot of that. There's a lot of examples at the festival with not just universities, but, you know, citizens, like you were saying, that have, you know, developed products and are in science. But it is interesting to educate people and to expose people to projects that started in a university where, you know, we're not just, you know, giving homework and grading homework, but we're also, you know, developing cutting-edge technologies. And Georgia Tech's known for that, but sometimes people don't see the examples firsthand.
And I don't think Georgia Tech gets enough credit,
well, thank
personally.
You.
You know, it's like you don't hear of them enough for all the good work they're doing. I mean, they have I mean, you're doing great work, and we talk a lot of in here with startups, and they have a great incubator program there, an accelerator. ATDC, I think, was the first accelerator in the country.
Right.
And it's just, I just think that nationally we don't get enough credit, and Georgia Tech specifically doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, I think that's going to change. We also have a lot more entrepreneurial activities for the students.
Mm-hmm.
We have this fairly new invention studio, we call it, where any student on campus, no matter what your major is, can go in and make stuff. And we have state-of-the-art equipment for making things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Inventure Prize, where there's design contests, and some of these teams have actually gone out and, you know, started a business and
right.
gotten investors and things. And
sure.
So,
and now, what's your take is being in at Georgia Tech of the women involved in engineering and math and science there?
Well, Georgia Tech, I mean, in general, as you know, engineering is been dominated for a long time by males. At Georgia Tech, we have a very large female population relative to, you know, historically and relative to some other technology universities. So we have a little bit more than 30% women. In my department, biomedical engineering, we have over 50% women.
Mm-hmm.
And this year's freshman class has more females than they've ever had in the past. So I think things are changing.
And then what was your take being a woman in technology going through schooling? Like, when did you start seeing a drop-off of girls maybe making choices that weren't science and math related?
I don't know that I ever noticed it as I was going through it. I think that now looking back, I can see several instances of, you know, girls dropping out or changing majors for various reasons. I can remember being the only girl on a design team or doing mm-hmm. a bunch of problems. And at the time, I didn't appreciate what that was until you know, I got into academia myself. And
you looked around?
You know, I looked around, and, you know, when you're at stuff, sometimes you're at a meeting and you're the only woman. But I feel as if, you know, women and girls, especially as they're going through school, if they like science and math, they need to express that to people close to them, you know, talk to their teachers. And there's so much more available now
mm-hmm.
if to encourage women, to encourage girls. And, I think it's a great time. You know, it's not totally equal in the technology space,
right.
but we're getting there. We're making a lot of headway.
Now.
Which is why it's really important that groups like Women in Technology have the kinds of mentoring and programs that introduce young women to professionals in the field and make those connections. It's really important for young people to see themselves in professionals in that career. I mean, if they can see STEM professionals that look like them, that act like them, and talk like them, then they're more likely to pursue those careers. So I just want to give a shout out to Women in Technology and the really incredible programs that they have at the K-12 level and at the collegiate level to help make those connections and mentoring opportunities for young women.
Thank you, Jordan.
Now, is there programs at Georgia Tech like WIT is actively involved in creating opportunities for young girls to shadow or to meet people that are doing it in the business setting? Are you aware of anything in the science setting where maybe would you be open to that? I'm sure Sandy can hook you up.
Yeah, you know, they have been active at Georgia Tech, and I know that they do a lot around Atlanta. I think it's great, and I think, you know, we're talking before the show about, you know, maybe getting together and kind of
right.
comparing notes. There are a lot of programs. There's societies like the Women Society for Women Engineers
mm-hmm.
that is has been very active for a long time in starting at the student level all the way up to the professional
right.
level. And then we also have, you know, a Women in Biology chapter that's fairly recent here in Atlanta. So there are emerging programs, and there's resources.
Now, Jordan, it seems like your event is a place where everybody can get together.
Yeah.
You've kind of created this, you know, other space where everybody can get together and celebrate what they're doing and be proud of it. And to the point of, you mentioned that there's cheerleaders now.
Yeah, we even have cheerleaders. So Science Cheerleaders is a great organization that...
That's an actual organization
that
exists.
It's an actual organization. It's professional cheerleaders, NBA and NFL and WNBA cheerleaders who are also scientists.
Is this a big list or a short list?
It is a surprisingly big list. We have several here in Atlanta. There are several cheerleaders who are working at CDC, for example, or there's one actually who's very active with Women in Technology, who has her own PR firm for technology companies. And on our website for Citizen Science, where we're partnering with Women in Technology, we have featured several, probably 6 to 8 different profiles of women in science and technology careers. Mm-hmm. So that's a really great opportunity for the public to meet them online. But we're also bringing these professionals to several of the Science Festival events. So you can actually meet Women in Technology and the Science Cheerleaders at 3 of the festival events. Fernbank Science Center on Saturday the 21st. You can meet them at the Science of Sports Safety at the College Football Hall of Fame on Monday night, the 23rd. And then you can meet them at the Neil deGrasse Tyson event at the Fox Theater on Tuesday night. We're so happy to have Neil deGrasse Tyson coming to Atlanta.
How'd you pull that off? That was
hats off to the Fox Theater. They really brought him in. So we're just working with them, and we're so thrilled to be in partnership with them.
But that was scheduled around the festival?
It was. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, great timing.
So that was a coincidence?
It really was a coincidence, yeah. You know, I think that they were aware of the festival and wanted to make that partnership happen,
right.
And just the stars aligned for the astrophysicist to come to Atlanta.
So now, are all of the sciences represented here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we even have arts, we have dance, we have poetry, we have song, we have music, we have drum lines, we have welding, I don't know where welding came from, but really exciting, interesting, unique events. You can touch a brain, you can touch frogs, you can, you know, go on a nature walk and find some birds. You can do some citizen science projects in your backyard where you're measuring precipitation. You can watch the plants change and bud and flower. You can actually take a mobile app and take a photograph of the night sky and measure light pollution. All these are ways that you listeners can contribute to science and provide a sort of crowdsourcing data collection for professionals and scientists who are going to use these data in their work.
And go ahead.
I was going to say that there was one that especially caught my eye, the science improv. I thought that was kind of neat that you could go watch an improv show and it would be all about science.
Yeah, we have a lot of irreverent events like that. There's, you know, the improv show. There's a Science Today show, sort of a ripoff, a spoof of the Today Show. And there's going to be 2 variety shows. One is called Solve for X, which is about the science of small things, but it has spoken word and poetry and song. The other one is called the Lucene Zipper Show. Did you know that Atlanta is the home to a science punk rock band called Lucene Zipper and the Zinc Fingers? It's actually comprised of a bunch of Georgia Tech faculty who moonlight as punk rock artists.
And they perform just regularly?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Not just for this.
They do weddings and bar mitzvahs, too.
They're available for anything. Now, if somebody wanted to learn more, there's a website?
Of course there's a website. Thank you for asking. It's atlantascientifestival.org. And if you're interested in particular in the citizen science projects that we're doing in partnership with Women in Technology, you can go to atlantascientifestival.org/citizenscience. We're also on Twitter and Facebook, so join us, follow us, and we look forward to seeing everyone at the Atlanta Science Festival. We have over 100 different events happening across 8 days, March 21 through 28, and the big finale at Centennial Olympic Park on March 28th from 11 to 4, the Exploration Expo. Hundreds of different interactive exhibits, stage shows,
performances. That's just like a free-for-all.
It's a big free science party.
And Sandy, you must be so proud of this relationship.
Oh, definitely. This is one of the main relationships that we've increased in terms of our sponsorship for this year, mainly because we're really seeing this as the future for us to get more young women involved in science.
Right. And then what a great place to see in over those 8 days. You can see all different parts of science and just play and learn. It's just so wonderful event. And Jordan, for you to, you know, be part of the group that was a catalyst of making this happen, it's a gift to the city, and we appreciate you putting this together. It must be very rewarding for you.
It's really rewarding working with all these
wildest dreams, I'm sure, when you were in that Starbucks, right?
Yep. And you know, we've sort of broken out of this kind of siloed effort that we usually do, and when we engage with the community, and now we're partnering with everyone else who's engaging with the community in this same space around STEM and STEAM, and you know, getting young people excited about the educational opportunities and the career opportunities here.
And then to see it all over those 8 days, it just, you know, one event after the other, it seems like it's limitless possibilities.
I do a lot of driving at the end of March, trying to visit all the events. Yeah.
So now, Sandy, for WIT, what do you got going on coming up outside of this event?
So coming up on March 18th is our WIT, is actually a social this year. So we're going to be, for this month. So we're going to be at Asia Restaurant and Bar at 5:30 on the 18th. So please have people come out and join us.
And then anything else? You got that? You got
this?
And
then, of course, everything for the rest of the month will be the Atlanta Science
Festival. That's it. It's all about the Atlanta Science Festival.
Absolutely.
For the rest of the month. All right. If somebody wants to learn more about WIT, where do they go?
Please come on our website at www.mywit.org.
And then they can see all of the different things you got going on throughout the year.
Absolutely, including the forum and socials, as well as the Atlanta Science Festival.
All right. Well, thank you for putting this together. It's a great show.
Thank you, Lee.
And thanks to all of our guests. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.